Welcome to episode 204 of the Book Wars Pod.
You could not have sounded the Book Wars Pod when you said that.
We're still here, man. We're doing we're
against all odds.
We made it somehow.
We are still cruising through the Strait of Hormuz. We cannot be stopped.
Shut the fuck up!
Okay, famously, taxation and trade routes mentioned in our reading today, which is the last three stories of Tales of Light and Life. The outline says, by everybody, LOL. Chris can probably tell you who the authors are for these stories. We are also
Lydia
doing...
Lydia Kang was one of them.
Correct.
Okay, so... Lydia Kang was one of them. We are also covering the Shadows of Starlight Marvel miniseries. Issues? Numbers?
Issues.
Hashtags? Right. 1 through 4.
Hashtags?
PhD.
It's whatever you want it to be.
There you go.
That reminds me, I was watching a really shitty movie once, and I cannot remember what it was, but at the, like... you know, height of the plot.
Oh no.
The fucking like nuke almost went off because the person reading the disarm code called it a hashtag instead of a pound sign. And the guy inputting it didn't know what the fuck a hashtag was.
That is like actually the level that we're at. Like as a society. Like it's not even funny anymore.
No, we're well past that. Think... like we're eliminating the number 9.
I don't even know if that's a joke.
I know, right? Exactly.
I was like, did I miss what? That?
Number 9 is woke. We don't use that.
Because of Pluto or like
I'm not even gonna say whether or not I'm joking.
He's joking.
what's happening? What are we drinking?
What are we drinking?
Not enough.
I was gonna say Chris has nothing, so I don't even know what the fuck this is about. I'm drinking more gin because my friend sent me a headline that All Birds, like the shoe company, is turning into, just decided to, whoop, they're an AI company? Because that has anything.
I heard it might be a stock fixing thing. Like,
oh yeah, it is.
I was going to say, yeah. It is. It had like pump and dump written all over it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's because they're already on the market. Like they have a fucking ticker. Label code, whatever the fuck they're called, so you know it's fine. The fact that they put in their press release that they're going to buy and then rent out some hardware shit, I was like, this is a pyramid scheme. But okay,
I keep seeing like people referencing whatever the fuck is going on at Allbirds, but I do not know what is going on with Allbirds, so that is weird to hear.
I don't think Allbirds knows what's going on with Allbirds.
I mean, what a mood.
Or not. I don't, who knows? I just, anyway, she sent me this in the middle of like, we were trying to, waiting to see if we were gonna have a meeting, and I just started screaming on live TV, so that was real good. Anyway, this gin is some shit I've had on the pod before. It is from Japan. I literally only bought it because it is called Kinobi Gin, which is fucking incredible. It's from Kyoto Distillery. It's alcohol, so thank God for that.
Rana, I do not have a beverage because I just got back from a run.
You don't even have water?
Started. Oh, and I like just chugged a ton of water.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have any.
Honestly, podcasting without any sort of hydration in Denver is really a choice, but you do. I think Burb called on me. I have this bottle of white wine that I have had now for ages, and it was 80 degrees here in Providence today. Woof. So we're finally not in snow. I'm very happy about this. This is a Sicilian white wine, Colossi. Mm-hmm. I know nothing. I know it's from Messina, which is fun fact. I didn't know this when I bought this, where my great-great-grandfather was born.
Oh,
so I didn't choose it for that reason. I bought it because it was $8.99
yes.
this summer. Now it would probably be twice as much.
Just like he would have wanted it.
I think he would hate me for many reasons. So, and yeah, I have nothing else to say about it, but it is, oh, it's from 2023 or bottled in 2023. And it is honestly like pretty good. It's a little more Chardonnay-like than I expected. Mm. It's delicious. And I also have Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake.
Christ.
No free ads. Made with bovine collagen. Incredible. 30 grams of total protein. Because life is lifing and I need more protein. But I really, I did have dinner, but I was like, no, I need to eat more today. So it's actually not bad. It's probably one of the best for the macros that I've had. I got it at Costco in a giant box and I only have 5 left. And then I also have water.
Well,
doing great.
Love your bisexual energy going on.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of false advertising in my life. I'm sorry. It's great. Unfortunate.
I'm just glad
queer
you're doing
people your love. Mm-hmm. Queer people love a free beverage setup.
Maybe, you know, honestly, if that were a discovery I could make about myself, my personal life would probably be a lot better.
Oh, no!
not that, like, you can come out at any age, but famously, but I don't think it's in the cards for you, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Thanks. Yeah, unfortunate. What are other people drinking?
I have water because I have to work after this.
Ew!
I am dying at work.
I truly hate that for you. That's disgusting.
Yeah. It's going great.
Devin.
Much like Burb, I have tea for the exact same reason. Uh-huh. It's also going great. I feel so awesome.
Oh my god.
What type of tea?
Green tea this time around.
Nice. Well, at least Kate and I have alcohol.
Chris, I didn't catch that.
Is it from Celestial Seasonings, Boulder's Own?
I had to stop going to that place. It's Twinings? I don't know how to pronounce the name. But I wanted something with caffeine because I didn't realize that Celestial Seasonings is like mostly caffeine-free. So,
I thought you stopped for historical reasons. I didn't realize it was for that reason. I will say
it was mostly for cult reasons, but also because I needed caffeine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They used to have this amazing caffeinated black mint tea that was so fucking good, and then they got rid of it during the pandemic. It was worth the cult shit.
Can we go back to the cult thing?
Mm-hmm. Celestial Seasonings is owned by a cult.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I still would do the tour though.
I never actually wound up doing that.
Next time I'm in Colorado.
I mean, we can go look at the cult. One of many.
I mean, at least they didn't burn down, you know, multiple areas of people's homes.
Literally one and a half fucking towns. Bananas. Don't, if you have a yellow deli anywhere near you, don't go there. Don't go. Also run by a cult. Burp, your face is just, yeah. I wish I had answers for you that were beyond this, but like, this is the simplest answer.
That sounds like some Oregon shit. Like, we would do that, like, in bumfuck Oregon.
Yeah! No, I mean,
like, where all the anti-vax people live, because they're into their hippy-dippy shit.
I mean, like, there's a place in Colorado. Colorado is the place where people decided to just make a mummy of their cult leader. So, you know, we're doing good.
Cool.
Uh huh.
Anyway,
we will talk more about mummies later. Anyway,
fucking. Our cause is not about mummies. It is about justice for migrant women.
Mm-hmm.
Justice. The4women.org. All words are spelled correctly other than the four, which is, again, the Arabic numeral four. They are out there fuck. If I can make my words happen.
You're the best. You got this.
Educating and raising awareness globally and domestically, or as the outline says, throughout the U.S. about issues affecting migrant women. So they're doing things like anti-discrimination and anti-violence, advocating for equal pay and other general labor protections, because, you know, everything's a fucking nightmare.
The hellscape.
The Bandana Project, I believe, is one of their efforts, if I remember correctly. Okay, lots of nods. That is a public awareness campaign aimed at addressing the issue of workplace sexual violence against farm worker women in the U.S. Community members, organizations, advocates, governmental representatives, lawyers, anti-sexual violence activists, and many others decorate white bandanas with words of encouragement, motivating statements, inspirational pictures and art, and then they hang them in a public place as a visible demonstration of our support for the aforementioned farm worker women. If you have extra money floating around, justiceforwomen.org.
Which, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people don't have extra money floating around right now because of stupid other people's fucking decisions, but, you know.
If you invested in Allbirds this morning, please consider.
Yeah. Fucking, oh, Jesus.
Or if you cashed out this afternoon.
I just. Anyway. The first thing on the outline is complaining about Stellan, so let's do that. That sounds good to me.
So, first of fucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They named it. God, was that, that wasn't in the comics, I think.
It was in a story.
It was in a story. They just, like, very casually dropped, like, oh, the cruiser or whatever fucking kind of ship it was,
yes.
Geos. And I was like, they did not fucking do this.
I mean, it's kind of the opposite reaction that I had three chapters ago when there's the ship that Belle's on named after Ziri. So, like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah.
Get me once and then tear me back down.
I was going to say.
Oh, did I miss that?
There was a Queen Ziri is the fishing boat that Belle is on. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they, at first I was like, ooh, haha, they said it this one time. Look at me reading. And then they say it like 700 more times in the chapter. And I realized it was very intentional. And I felt
and stupid. Then I'm just crying.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now, honestly. So I'm not a close reader, you know.
That is okay. Just the book pod.
I mean, I didn't catch it at all, so.
The book pod. No, but actually,
still
I just.
Reading better than Gen Z. Sorry, go ahead.
Listen, naming boats after, like, Admiral Raddus and stuff, fine. Naming boats after Stellan, I turned the Jedi into a bunch of cops, you know, is a whole nother fucking thing. I just. Oh.
Same. So that happened.
Yes. Orca doesn't like it.
Orca famously hates Goss.
I also. Stellan's fucking shitty, like, 3PO prototype, also just being like, I'm gonna do what Dad would have done, which is annoy the fuck out of Elzar. Which, like, listen, we all love to annoy the fuck out of Elzar, but. I don't like the basis of his reasoning.
I was just trying to do something, and this droid's like, what if I blew up the hyperdrive?
I know, right? Like, I think you were gonna need that at some point, stupid. Like, I don't even understand.
No.
So, you know, normal stuff. Christopher, do you have any Stellan dunking you would like to do before we move on? Because it is your favorite activity. Yes!
My
an emphatic yes.
My feeling. So, do y'all, for y'all who are old, because we're old now, do y'all remember in 2012 when Obama was running for re-election, Joe Biden would just, like, go around shouting, the reason that Obama should be re-elected is because Osama bin Laden is dead and General Motors is alive.
No, I don't remember this.
I don't remember this, but it sounds on brand.
Yes.
It sounds on brand. Well, did he have the fucking
the
ice cream cone when he did that?
Is awesome is because Stellan Geos is dead and Buriaga is alive.
I know you probably thought about that for a long time, and, like, I really do appreciate it. And also, is this how I know you used to live in D.C.?
Yeah, I was not. We were in college in DC at the time, which is a whole separate issue.
Issue is the right word to use for that. Yes, I agree.
Famously entering buildings, which is a niche joke that nobody else on the show gets.
Fucking God.
It's honestly not worth. It's not even funny enough to be worth.
It's not, and yet. Okay, whatever. I'm just moving right along.
Anyway,
it's fine.
That was my contribution for the day. I'll see y'all later.
Oh Jesus!
Was that the joke you were planning?
That was, yes.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I knew it. I knew it wasn't. I wanted to be nice, but I have no filtering this week, so
no,
I just cannot believe
I wasn't going to be nice.
Like,
I literally.
Like, you made it sound like you had done a whole routine. This is what happened.
The look on your face, you were like, I could see you holding yourself back, like, is that it?
But I didn't. I really was like, going to do it. And then, like, I was like, no, we're nice. We don't need to lash out. Life is good for others. And then that shit happened. And I'm sorry, Chris, but that was a choice.
Go ahead and lash out. That's fine.
This is the lash out at Chris Pod in addition to the book pod.
I was going to say, why should today be different from all other shit?
Shut up! we're doing great. This is fine. Thanks all two people who listen to this pod for some fucking reason.
Didn't we get up to 3 recently?
Oh my gosh, oh no.
Like Burb's coworkers?
Oh
something?
Yeah.
Oh no, my friend.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm so sorry. I actually do believe that you have more friends than coworkers. I just got it mixed up in my brain, but it sounded really fucking shady.
She was
I'm
just
sorry.
Telling a story about her coworker, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to just like delete myself from the pod.
Oh my god, stop.
I did have a conversation this weekend with somebody who is not a listener, but does read these books.
Oh, okay.
About this book.
Okay.
Because he was asking, like, hey, what are you guys reading recently? I was like, oh, I don't remember the fucking name of it, but here's what it is. And then he just goes, there's a really important Buri Yaga story in there. And I was like, that's the one I cried at.
You know, I feel like that
and
person.
And he's like, it was very good.
That is a good thought to have about this book, honestly. I'm still waiting for one of my friends is just starting reading The High Republic, but he's also a doctor, so like he has a real job, you know. So he has things that are occupying his fucking time. And I'm just waiting for him to like start listening to these episodes though, and his wife, who I've never met, to be like, what the fuck is wrong with people he went to high school with? And the answer is a lot of things. And but also, Inuri, if you're listening, I'm sorry I told you I had a podcast. Anyway.
Oh my god, guys, we're going to get up to 4.
I know, I'm pretty big. 4.5 with his wife in the background being like, what the fuck?
I'll take it.
Yeah, right. Okay, so the last like few stories in this book are kind of positioning where a lot of our... phase 1 characters are at the beginning of phase 3. So Vern's on her whatever journey of self-discovery. Keeve's out here doing night stuff. Belle's being a sweetheart and rescuing Buri Yaga because, gosh, I just like, I have a lot, no, like Barb, you said you cried. I have a lot of like friends or family feelings about, you know, him just being so fucking convinced that Buri was still alive and just hanging in there, and I just... And learning how to fish for your friend is bananas.
Learning how to, like, industrial commercial fish. Like, right, he's not doing it for fun.
So
go
difficult.
Out there dying.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I,
fucking, like, TLC shows big deep sea fishing.
Right.
And also on a planet that's very hostile towards him.
Yes!
And then he gets them all to be his friend.
I know. And it worked. Like, I'm like, oh, I love this.
I think Irem might be my favorite planet in the High Republic.
Yeah,
by the way,
for the ocean planet,
some
no
of which are up shocker. But also like the people are a little like fuck you, like they're a little East Coast.
This is the New England of the galaxy. Yes.
Also, they have gay people.
I mean, that's a hot take considering it's much more livable and gets sun most of the year, but
I don't know, there's a
they do have queer politicians, so
there you go. I don't know, there's a fucking,
that's some Massachusetts bullshit.
Oh my gosh. There's a metaphor in there about fucking cyanobacteria or whatever the hell it is. Like, I don't know, whatever.
It's actually all just the Charles River.
You're not wrong about that.
Niche joke there.
It's not. That's just facts. That's just straight up facts. I just. Mm.
You will turn green. You will get green freckles at best. So
I'm gonna make jokes about the bay, but I can't form them fast enough.
That's okay.
Thank you for your support.
The rivers in New York write jokes about themselves. It's fine.
I know a guy who got like a fucked up eye thing from swimming in the Potomac.
Oh,
that's entirely predictable.
I know.
Yeah, that's like some RFK shit. Why would you do that?
I don't know what to tell you.
Just stick your face straight in there.
Again, no. At least do it upstream of the Anacostia.
Yeah, I would assume so. Okay. This is like before I met him, and I met him a decade ago. So, but like a smart guy, he's like a lawyer, and like still went swimming in the Potomac.
I mean, to be fair, we've reached an age where it's just like, you're having children and it's fine because you're going to be a great parent. And also, I remember you, 15 years ago, just barfing on the floor right next to me. And now you're responsible for another live thing. And obviously that's just what happens with people as they like get older and, make decisions about their lives. But also, I had never really thought about it. And now, I'm just like, what the fuck?
Who among us hasn't barfed on your floor, Kate? Well,
it's you and Argos.
Yeah, I went back to DC for a wedding, and everybody fucking has a kid now. And I'm like, really?
That's so wild.
Like, my college friends?
Yeah, I had a friend recently who sent me a bunch of screenshots about how she was annoyed because she like couldn't go to something because her mutual friend was having a baby and then her other friend was having a baby. She was like, why isn't anyone using birth control? And I was like, I hate to break it to you. These are planned children at our age. Like, this is not an accident.
Yeah.
These people are changing in life.
Wild times. Who does that?
I mean, our Jedi are growing up too.
It's true.
So,
yeah.
They're also changing in life.
And also the bad
guys.
Most
of the High Republic changes in life are death, but there are few who are living on.
Olin's not dead.
Which I know, I couldn't believe it. I was like,
which
holy
one
shit.
Is he? I don't remember.
He's the green, what's that
speaking? Yes, the Thorian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
So he was the baby who was running around.
Oh, with the fuck-ass bombs?
Yeah, with the fuck-ass bombs.
Now
he's a mad scientist.
Which is why I think it's really weird that he didn't put... Well, I don't know if this is a spoiler about something I accidentally saw when I Googled one of the characters, but I'm going to hold it, actually. I'm going to hold it back. No comment.
If you want, you can text it to me, and I'll tell you if it's a spoiler.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to do that.
Anyway, classic Star Wars, child bomber to mad scientist pipeline.
I mean... That's kind of how the whole thing works.
Yeah, that's true. Burp, you wrote this about Amadeo, yes.
Fucking?
Who was a new character for all of
first
us.
First of all, entire story about a Jedi whose thing is just like, he's Italian. Once again.
It's really not what I got out of that at all, but I'm glad it worked for you.
This book is about the Northeastern United States. They're fucking Italians.
Oh my god.
All I could goddamn think of the entire time I read this story because
you can't
my
even
brain
say
is broken.
Oh my god.
No bless yous for Amadeo.
Oh my god! What the
fuck? He's the spiritual successor to Giacomo.
Oh my god. Fucking god. See, what I got out of the story was that Space 9/11 just happened, and he's like,
oh, and
he was like, I'm sex. In New York City for the first time. I'm gonna get so fucking laid. And I'm like, you are 17.
Yep.
I mean, is there more peak 17-year-old behavior?
I mean,
no.
No,
that's it.
Although I will say, if, like, I guess this is very New York, but what's her name? Elise? Also says that guy who just, like, well, now this is going to get dark, sorry.
Oh, no.
But that guy who just, like, attacked her about owing him money was her boyfriend. So maybe not your best choice.
He's never going to see her again.
Yeah. Also, that guy, like, nobody said this kid was smart. I was just like, oh, brother.
He's 17. He's not thinking with his brain.
They found a Jedi on his like room springer and said
I was so sure he was going to get jumped. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. I was 100% sure he was going to get beaten up, robbed, they were going to do something to go back to the temple.
I was nervous at first, and then I was like, oh, this woman wants to fuck him.
To be fair, I think he got a little bit fucked up. I think when, I cannot recall his master's name for whatever fucking reason, gets back to the ship, and he's just like, did you just sleep in a pile of garbage last night? Like...
I thought I went to a club and someone dumped their wine on me.
I thought he was just really hungover.
Well, and okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go a little off topic, but a little bit related. And also, I mean, it's already not a safe for work podcast. But this brought up an interesting concept for me. There must be people who really, like, make it their life's ambition to sleep with a Jedi. Like, this has got to be a whole thing. Yeah. Because, one, you have the, like, oh, it's so taboo, even though we know the Jedi are fucking all the time. And then also you have Devin's face there was hysterical.
No, it's like all... like a fetish thing.
Well, yes, yeah. And like similar. The other thing I'm thinking of is like conquest. In New York when it's like Fleet Week, and you have the people mm-hmm. who intentionally go to New York during Fleet Week.
Yes,
like that's their whole thing. So I feel like it's yeah. I mean, I guess since it's a religion, it is kind of like a weird fetish thing too. But yeah, just I never realized that until now, and now I'm realizing yep.
You know,
there are definitely people who are like. This is my life's ambition.
I think you're right.
Fuck world is celebration of life.
Oh, that was totally me.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did I Google the wrong Fleet Week? Or is it about the United States Navy?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I lived in New York, I didn't know this was a thing. And then all these people would be like talking, like you'd go to a bar and all these women would be like, oh my God, it's Fleet Week. Look at them in their uniforms. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
gotcha.
What?
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's like really, and people come in from Jersey, Pennsylvania, all mm-hmm. these places because they just want to fuck Navy guys. I mean, it seems questionable, but you do.
They have never met anybody in the Navy then.
Truly.
Well, I don't think they've, met them for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is a thing that, New York's not the only place that does this. I think it's like as they kind of like tour the country. I don't actually know what or why, but yeah, they dock, they're in their whites, people get horny for that.
They just go to get laid,
correct?
They go to the bars and yeah,
it's mm-hmm. No, it is such a thing. It's also, listen, obviously I grew up where I grew up, and so it, you know, as I grew older and understood what was happening and the implications of activities and such, I, you know, it was real great to go to the seaport. These motherfuckers look so smug. They knew where they were going to get so much ass that week. It was ridiculous. Like, they were so pleased. They knew exactly what the next few days were going to be like. It was, yep. I was just like, I'm gonna leave the area. Goodbye. Anyway.
Thank you all for feeling me out.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really good Person of Interest episode about Fleet Week.
Ooh.
I don't know what a person of interest... I mean, know what a person of interest is, but I don't know what that is in this context.
It's the show.
No, I got that. Is it a television show? Is it a podcast?
It's a show. It wrapped up like a decade ago. It's got that fuck-ass guy from Passion of the Christ.
What?
Mel Gibson?
No, okay. Jim.
I was really alarmed.
Literal Jesus?
Jim... Something.
Right. Jesus himself playing
Jesus Christ.
I honestly could not name a single actor that is in Passion of the Christ.
I've never seen Passion of the Christ.
The one who insisted on being crucified for the film?
Yeah, Jim Caviezel, I think his name is.
That's a name.
I don't know. It also has Sarah Shahi and Amy Acker, and they kiss later in the series. So. Great show. Would recommend.
All right, then.
If you're into, you know, propaganda, or kind of propaganda. Oh, and it has Taraji P. Henson, and she looks so good in it.
All right.
I love Taraji. That's,
I was about to say, that is a thing that catches my interest. Chris, I feel like she's... Yes. Chris, I feel like you're about to say something that, like, nice and light and innocent while we're, like, dunking on this kid for trying to, like, do stuff, live his life, I don't know.
Oh, Amadeo?
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely was not.
Oh.
Chris hates Italians.
I wrote a celebration of life on the outline as a joke.
Oh.
Because they're fucking.
I mean, it's not not that, but okay. Thank you for your input.
Solid jokes today, Chris.
When Devin's commenting on your humor, it's gone too far.
Oh, shit.
Again, I mean that sincerely.
So, Devin, if you had to pick between my jokes and Deadpool and Wolverine, you're picking my jokes, I assume.
I would pick dog shit over Deadpool and Wolverine. Are you serious?
Can that just be the title of this episode?
I would pick dog shit.
Let people think we change genres.
I mean, I'm down.
Incredible. New franchise.
Oh,
please,
Lord.
Don't make me watch Marvel.
Okay. I'm just going to move right along.
So much effort.
So, all right. Thinking about this book, just as an overall thing. So, I don't know. I just like vomited a few thoughts on here. So, unlike other books in the High Republic, we have an introduction from the fucking like person who's kind of like helping to direct this entire thing, Michael Siglain. And it feels like he's just kind of like, if you're just jumping in, like, here's what you missed on Glee, but also like very much suggesting that this is like kind of like intended as an entry point for people who are like curious about like doing the books. So this book moves us from like we're exiting phase two. We're introducing characters from phase one and where they're at after phase one. And then we're introducing phase three, obviously, because Amadeo is here. So I guess my question for y'all is, do we feel like this is a good introduction? And also, when I picked up this book, I was like flipping through it and I asked Chris, I was like, is this supposed to be YA? And he's like, oh, no. But like, I was like looking at how the other YA books are formatted and typeset and the whole thing. And this seems to fit under there. So why YA? If we're going to be introducing a thing.
Are you talking about Tales of Light and Life?
Yes.
Is YA?
Yes.
I did not realize that. Interesting, because that Marta story was dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean,
there was a lot of
teenagers
murder.
Be fucking and thinking about killing people, so.
You know.
Is what it is, I guess.
Sometimes you see people.
I mean, I kind of like the idea in or like the concept of starting off with a YA thing because at its heart, Star Wars is for youth.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that, honestly. But also, what a confusing place to jump in.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Not where you should be jumping in.
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked so much throughout the first two phases about how many goddamn characters there are. And like when you're going through it, I mean, I have several things I can say about this. One, I like to start at the beginning and just, like, go through things. That's how I learn and, like, get acclimated to it. But there's so many goddamn characters, like, across all phases. And this one, it's not just like, oh, we're, like, reading a couple of books and, okay, like, you know, this book introduced these characters and then the next one we get to meet some of the side. This is just, like, hundreds of years of random people who, like, we know because we've been reading these books for the last however many years. If I were dropped into this as an introduction, I would say, who the fuck are all these people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so many things. And, like, you don't have concept of the time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
There's no concept of the fact that, like, we are in different timelines and, like, what the importance is. I think it's fun. The stories are like fun and, you know, except for the murder stuff. And I like the concept of it, but I don't know if this is, if I were to, you know, say to somebody, hey, you should get into the High Republic, I would not recommend this.
Yeah, I think the timeline confusion is like the biggest sticking point for me in terms of like trying to frame this as an introductory whatever for the entire project. I see what they were trying to do, which was like, here is a sampler of things, here are characters that you could learn more about. Like, you know, we have like the Axel story where it's just like he meets this criminal and then like if you would like to know more about what happens next,
that one did feel very YA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of why I'm saying that, aside from the fact that like it's the like book design, and I think the publisher who did it was, is it called Disney Hyperion these days?
I want to say it's Disney Lucasfilm Press.
Okay, whatever the fuck the fucking YA publisher is, the fucking publisher is who does the YA stuff for Star Wars. It was published by whoever the fuck it is, and also, it's within the right age for the characters. All the fuck the way back at the dawn of this pod, we talked about what makes a YA book, and principally, it is just how old the characters are, and they are all like in those teen years. I don't think anybody's older than 18 or 20, so yeah, that's literally the whole reason. But yeah, no, I see how this is providing a sampler, and like if you read, it's very much like if you're curious about these people, then read all the other shit. And also, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know, draw me a little timeline or something for this, because it's really bugging me.
It's like, I feel like this concept works better for like the from a certain point of view, which is also it obviously very different because we're doing it about the movies and we're like exploring stuff that I think why though that works is like we already know about this, like Aunt Beru and her fucking blue milk.
Yes.
Like it's taking something and you know, something that we are already familiar with and being like, hey, here's like some fun stories, let's do this. And if you have no concept of like what the Starlight Beacon is, and they kind of are like, yeah, it crashed, bad.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
what are you gonna do if you don't understand the importance of that?
Yeah, I'm largely want to hold my opinion on Phase 3 as a whole until we've read more of it. But I agree that I think they were trying to frame this as a good entry point, and I agree that I absolutely think that it is a terrible entry point. Like, I can't imagine reading this, knowing nothing about it, and then being like, I want to know more. I would just be confused and, like, dejected because I'm like, I have no idea. I just read 300 pages like and I have no idea what's going on.
I can understand starting at either Phase 1 or Phase 2. I think either of those would be fine places to start. But starting here is just weird.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's like telling someone to watch the, like, if, oh, you've never seen Star Wars, start with the sequels. Like, what? Why would you ever do that?
I will say the one thing I do really like about this is that it is like a fun transition from phases 2 to 3.
As but a transition, you have, yes.
You have to have the context of phases 1 and 2.
To be clear, also, when I said you could start with phase 1 or 2, in my mind, if you start with phase 2, you need to go right to phase 1. And then to phase 3.
Yeah, 2, 1.
Yeah, yeah. Chronological watching order.
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, there it is. That's a better way to put it. Thanks, Burb. Imagine words. Not me. Can't use them. Can't read them. Can't use them.
Book pod.
Not on our words podcast.
Yeah.
It's almost... wars, actually.
Oh my gosh.
I need to be killed. I'm sorry.
No, you don't. Oh my gosh.
As my mom would say, take me out back and shoot me.
Oh, okay.
My mom says that all the time.
Julie!
Usually just about any sort of physical pain. Cool. Anyway,
what I was gonna say was, I feel like what this book needs is like a stupid fucking appendix. It's like, if you here are the books related to Axel and list them out. Except who the fuck wants that in a Star Wars book? So like, don't.
Actually, I would fucking love that. Sometimes, actually, I look at that on Wikipedia, and I'm always like, where did this person first come into the story? What books were they in? Sometimes I'm like, I didn't know they were in these 5 books. I vaguely remember them in 1. So, but again, not a close reader. Although, you know what I'm remembering is I definitely skipped a couple books this year because life was work heavy.
That's okay.
I think that's probably closer to the typical reader experience than like mm-hmm. me reading all of these when they came out. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that that's
true, guys. I'm the typical Star Wars fan. Don't tell the internet.
Oh my gosh, stop. No, that's 100% true though, because like I was mentioning my friend and his poor wife, who will probably have to listen to this at some point. And like he started with Light of the Jedi, which is the first book in the whole thing. But also like I can't see him reading the fucking comics. He doesn't have time for that. He's a whole doctor. Like, you know, like, he's not doing that.
Sorry, Devin.
I only read the comics because Chris makes me.
You do hate the picture.
It's okay.
All right, speaking of hating on the comics, can we I will shuffle
hate
us along
the
just kidding. I'm not specifically hating on these comics, although the usual Marvel caveat of they are run by a yellow face doing bastard, I fucking hate that guy. Don't give them money, just you know the internet exists. All right, so yeah, so not hating on the comics as a medium. I am hating on what this miniseries introduces into the storyline, which is the Guardian Protocol in the light of the fall of Starlight Beacon. These comics are kind of like covering the life in the year of the Jedi Order, basically after this horrible disaster. And yeah, what is the Guardian Protocol, you might ask? Cop shit. It's just cop shit.
I kept thinking of it as the Jedi Order reorg, mm-hmm. where they're like, children, we'll have more weapons. Mm-hmm. Anyone can do anything. Mm-hmm. Please become a soldier. It's very like post 9/11.
Oh, yeah. 1000%. No, like everybody being like, and you know, you can graduate to a knight when you're 12. No one cares. Like, you know, that kind of shit. Which is very like, you know, we've seen this in the Clone Wars, but we haven't like said it's a codified thing. So that's new.
Yeah. I will say, and this is not a real point because it's coming from me, but
stop.
I've already forgotten who wrote the comics because that's what my brain does. But I could tell whoever wrote it did not have a lot of experience with children when the children asked, are we ready for this about being armed? Because I think every child ever feels that they're ready to be armed.
I think it was Carl Soule, and I'm actually not sure if he has kids, so.
He does have kids.
He might, but if he does, I mean, maybe they're like these perfect little... I was going to say beacons, but that's not the word I want in Star Wars.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I just can't imagine a child who's like, I get a sword? No. Scary. Not ready. I don't have the skills.
Yeah, that was definitely more narrative device than real.
Yeah.
Of like, the kids
counterpoint,
the only ones thinking this through.
I would have said that shit when I was a kid.
I was going to say, Burp was an anxious child. She absolutely would have been like, excuse me?
These broke a lamp fighting with a dull sword pretending it was a lightsaber when I was three, so.
You're great.
I love that. These Jedi are little fucking dorks, I think is the... I thought it was realistic.
Oh. So I think we were very different types of children, and that's okay.
Correct.
I would not have been allowed to become a Jedi for many reasons.
I like
stuck me out on some like outer rim planet, but like she'll die.
Oh no, stop, dude! You were saying like you broke this lamp when you were three, and I was like, oh, it's like you were destined to be on this pod. Oh no, what a horrible fucking destiny to be on this pod.
Maybe I was four, but I could not have been five based on the apartment. So my mom was not pleased.
Yeah. True. This is a sidebar about the Guardian Protocol, but I was dying laughing because I remember when the prequels came out and. They were doing like all these fucking features in like Entertainment Weekly, et cetera, about Star Wars is back and here's some pictures from the set and the costume design and whatever the fuck else. And I remember people just being like, why are all these lightsabers so hideous, like comparatively speaking? Like, granted, like, again, we, like, if you're, lots of people probably know that, like, the original lightsabers were very, like, duct taped together from, like, you know, like fucking flash shoes and shit like that, whatever the fuck they had lying around. And so this time they were like, I don't know, probably more intentional about it, but they did look really fucking ugly. Like they were a lot less shiny. There wasn't a whole lot of like personalization going on, I felt like. And now we have the comics have provided a canon reason for why these lightsabers are so goddamn ugly, and the reason is because they didn't have time to make them pretty because war and shit. And I was like, wow.
Mass production.
It did make me think of like architecture, all the memes of like these beautiful old, really detailed buildings, and then like
brutalist lightsabers.
Yeah.
What's that thing called? Like the in my head it's like a meet and three, but the like the developments that's like the bottom, the street level is stores, and then it's 3 to 5 layers of apartments.
Yes. Yes.
The meet and three of architecture.
Oh man.
But yeah, no, I also love that, and I really love the whole Guardian Protocol sequence, just because like throughout this they've been very intentional about like this isn't just a story about the time, it's a story about how we got from like this golden age that like kind of everybody speaks of, where like the Jedi were the guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy, to the prequel era where the Jedi are going to negotiate a treaty about the opening and taxation of
where Anakin literally just blows up like 5 planets in a row.
Like, I think it's an acknowledgement that of what I think was kind of surprisingly not, well, it was clear from George Lucas. George Lucas is never not clear, but not picked up by a lot of fans, that like the prequel Jedi are not the good guys. Like the prequel Jedi are not the ideal that they are made out to be, and that's the whole problem. And you know, they wanted to show the ideal, and I think Light of the Jedi is like, just since you brought that up, Kate, is like a perfect example of that, like that whole part one around Hetzel.
Mm-hmm.
But like then every book since then has shown us in real time, quote unquote, exactly what went wrong and every step that was taken. And so I do love like even the detail of like the lightsabers, I think is like very significant, because mm-hmm. like, you know, the ideal of the Jedi is that they are like monastic
art.
And yeah, and like care about aesthetic and the Force is like inherently aesthetic. And they and know that now no longer care about that part.
Thanks, Stellan.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's something that I feel like we've maybe touched on a little bit as we've gone through this, but like we've gotten to see Jedi do really fucking cool shit with their lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's whips, there's a goddamn shield, mm-hmm. there's like all sorts of badass things. That's like, hey, we're protectors. Like, that's our job. Look at my lightsaber shield. And then this one's like, would you like several weapons off of an assembly line?
Mm-hmm. 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 Woof.
If this sequence were on camera or on screen, it would be very interesting to juxtapose it against the assembly line sequence from Attack of the Clones.
Stop! Somebody on YouTube make that edit for me, thank you. All right. Some of these are kind of one-offs, but they do give us some information. So at the end of phase one, I was like, why the fuck did Yoda bring back a mummy? Because he brought back a mummy. Motherfucker was just like literally wrapped up in bandages like a mummy. And I was like, what the hell? Turns out it's not quite a mummy. It's just Aslan Rel. Yeah, literally just his fucking still animated, desiccated body being kept alive by evil shit. Yes, Burb.
He is the one who, after whatever fuck shit went down with the leveler, was like going bananas, and they put him in the space hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I will say another bit of evidence that I am not a close reader is I did not realize that was the mummy that Yoda brought back.
Oh,
and I just thought like, oh, he's had it rough.
I mean,
he's not looking so great. He didn't use the space sunscreen. Hasn't been moisturizing. Thought he had some melanin. Didn't help.
I mean, all of the above.
Been, like, over 100 years, so.
He can be a mummy and also anti-sunscreen.
Yeah, true. He's, like, solid, mm-hmm. like, 175 by...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for 175, he looks great, but...
I mean, true. He's mobile and shit. Like, that's nuts. I'm
still
not
got,
be...
like, 70% of his hair.
Right. I'm not gonna be
okay.
mobile when I'm 175.
Please, dear Lord, I don't even know if I want to make it to 75. Mm. Like... 175?
I know.
Too many. Hell no.
I was gonna say, once everyone I know is dead, just take me out.
I feel like once my dog is gone, I'm done.
I feel that. I really do.
Kate, you're really crushing these titles today.
I don't know who put Yoda doing Yoda shit, but I feel like we should go to that before we talk about marketing.
That was
yeah.
me. Mm-hmm. As soon as this fucking city gets destroyed, I was like, Yoda, you can't do shit. You can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, Yoda, what are you doing? This is wrong. This person is, we don't trust him.
Yes.
And Yoda's like, no. Trust me, you will. And then this fucking city gets blown up. Also, speaking of balding, didn't expect to see Yoda with like a lot more hair. I was like, what?
There is absolutely some concept art somewhere from the High Republic of Yoda's hair, what didn't used to be white. Like, it wasn't white.
It's like, Yaddle's shade of brown.
Uh-huh.
Well,
Yoda with brown hair.
People age in Star Wars, too.
I think of him as being kind of like a turtle and just having almost... I mean, I know he has the wisps, but I don't picture him with brown hair. I don't know. It seems kind of like a little bit racist. Like, just a hairy, why does he have white people hair?
Just a hairy frog.
But why does he have brown hair? It doesn't make sense.
I can't argue with anything you're saying.
If you go back 300 more years, he's going to be full on like Obi-Wan Jesus hair.
All right. Honestly, I can picture that better than I can the like wisps of brown.
I'm going to have nightmares about that tonight. Thank you so much.
Just Yoda with flowing locks.
Yeah, that's at, like fucking Fabio or whatever the fuck. Like just like. Oh my God.
We found out at work recently that a lot of the younger staff don't know who Fabio is. Someone was like telling a story about meeting Fabio in real life, and two of the younger, like the people under 30, and also our bartender who was like 29, had no idea who we were talking
about.
And I was like, the bird on the roller coaster, and everyone was like, what?
Oh my gosh!
Don't worry about it.
All right, I have to tell a story now. I'm so sorry about this. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to tell a story. So at my bachelorette party, one of my bachelor party, one of my friends who was very skilled at Photoshop took a bunch of shitty romance novel covers and Photoshopped me and Chris's faces into them, and then was like, please come up with a title for this book, the most unhinged one gets a prize. So it was real good. I liked it a lot. I think I still have them. So Donna definitely still has them somewhere. Anyway, it's like Chris photoshopped onto Fabio. It's real fucking good.
I would like to be sent this.
Best shape of my life, ready for the season.
Oh man, fuck off. God. All right. Speaking of,
I was just gonna say back to Yoda real quick.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This frog has never in his life second-guessed himself. Like,
first of all, I'm going to interrupt you right now because personally, I can't hear Yoda be called a frog. I don't identify as a frog, but my name does mean frog in many languages, and I've been called this my entire fucking life. Yoda's not a goddamn frog.
Okay, the reason why we're calling him a frog. Have you seen this meme?
Can we call him a toad?
No, because that also is Rana.
So... there's this meme, there's a shitty Tumblr meme of, you know, Luke backpacking Yoda on Dagobah, and somebody like texting it to their friend, like clearly very high, being like, why is that frog sniffing that boy?
Oh, I have seen this and I forgot about it. I'm sorry, Chris. I got really personally offended and I was like, call him a turtle if you must.
I mean, I'm happy to call him.
But I've been lumped in with the frogs for too long for this fucking slander.
I mean, calling him a turtle is about as correct as what he did to the Jedi Order, so, you know, it's fine.
What?
He sucked.
I understood what you were saying there, Chris.
It's incorrect. He did a bad job.
Oh. I got it. It's also incorrect to call him a frog, though.
That's all. I mean, that's fair.
What was your fucking point?
I got it. I understood it. I totally understood it. It's fine.
Just that, like, you know, I love that Yoda is very... I would actually love to, like... talk to the authors about how they view Yoda in this era, because you can absolutely see he's like far more with it and like very like tries to be very insightful, and like there's much more power. You know, you have him and Yaddle basically just like lifting up an entire landslide to rescue Gela and Axel, but also like he just keeps making the same mistakes, and he has never once in his life considered that he might not be right. And like, listen, we love a hero that is, you know, but that believes in themselves, But Jesus, man. Like,
Yoda's not a hero.
Yeah, like, so that's, I would really love to know how, what light the authors felt they were putting him in this era, because I want to know if, like, is Yoda just a Rorschach test where, like, how you feel about him is how you feel about him and you're just going to see it wherever? Or were they very intentionally trying to have this, like, extremely stubborn, holier-than-thou personality to him?
Someone must have done a dissertation on this.
Right?
That wasn't a joke. That was serious.
If they haven't, Devin, you haven't turned yours in yet. It's not too late.
Oh, Jesus.
He's not, not doing, don't do another that to goddamn him. Dissertation. No.
Devin's about this to is, fucking have stress dreams this about this. This
is emphatically not my domain.
Oh my god. Let Devin rest.
Also, Yoda just, like, fucks off for a while in the middle of the High Republic.
Yeah, to get the mummy.
I mean, that's all he does.
And comes back with a random ass mummy.
Uh-huh.
I love how, again, in this, they're like, oh, Yoda's gone again.
Yeah. Like, he just does that. He just disappears for a while. And he truly, like, pulls a Luke in fucking Empire Strikes Back. Like, fucks off to Dagobah at all times.
And, like, it's, like, it's... You know, at the end, it's all okay because he's exactly where he, you know, he truly is a wizard. He arrives precisely when he means to. But
fuck's sake.
Not when needed.
And yeah, but not when needed, and not when he could have been more helpful in other places. Like, yes. Does he always have a flair for the dramatic? Yes. But, like.
To be fair, I don't think you can be a Jedi without a flair for the dramatic, but go on.
That's fair. It's the whole laser sword thing.
You know. It's a throwing off your shitty brown cape, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No Jedi has ever removed their hood in a boring way.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, like, it's he is just quintessentially Yoda, and for good or for ill, and everybody seems to know it, and everybody is, like, fine with it, which, I mean, makes sense because he's, like, 500 at this point and, like, not slowing down. So they're like, he's going to outlive me. It's not worth dying on this hill. But it's, I don't know. I just, like, I found that fascinating and well written. And also just from, like, a personal standpoint, kind of infuriating.
This is the anti-Yoda pod. All right.
Yeah. This is...
We hate two things on this podcast. Yoda and Stellan. And
true.
If you haven't been here before.
I'm going to make stickers.
Just in time for whenever the fuck the next celebration is.
Right.
I was literally just going to say, if we do go to a celebration next year, can we show up with stickers that say, I'm glad Stellan Geos died?
On my attempt, I keep telling you, if I find a cheap way to get a silk print shirt, I'm getting one for you that says, all my homies hate Stellan Geos.
Mm-hmm. I will absolutely wear that shirt to celebration. 1,000%.
We're going to run into Tom and he's going to be like, hey, how are you? What the fuck? He will not do that. He's a very nice man, but he will be very confused.
Yeah, that'll be his inside thought.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think they'd ever do this, but I really hope they put the High Republic in Legion, because it would be amazing. Legion is the tabletop game I play. A, because it would be amazing, but B, because then they would have Stellan Geos, and I mean, he'd probably be good, and everybody'd be like, why won't you play Stellan Geos? And I'd be like, I'd rather die.
Oh my god. Can we finish this episode? Jesus Christ.
Always derailed by the Stellan hate.
I mean, and among other things, like feet. All right, so...
Kate, why? Why do you always bring it to feet?
Feet pod.
For the SEO.
We're
talking about
yep. All right. Marky and Roe. So yeah, Marky is also in this very fascinating position where he's won. Basically, he's got his own little fiefdom behind a storm wall. Mm-hmm. And then Gira's like, you know, you have to, like, if you're controlling this place, you have to control it. We need, like, rules and regulations and government ministries and shit. And Markian's like, what the fuck, dude? And she's just like, don't worry, babe. I got it. I'll do all that boring shit, all the paperwork for you, and you can just enjoy your spoils and scare people and whatever the fuck it is that you do. And I'm like, this is the weirdest power couple I've found in Star Wars, but here we are. Yeah.
They did animate them to be very hot in these comics. And I was
why
like,
is
Mark
Hamill a daddy?
That, but you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah. Why is he a daddy in this? Like, I'm so confused.
What? I remember him being ugly. Like,
uh-huh.
He was ugly in earlier comics.
I also love Gera completely unconcerned that her child is missing.
Yeah, she does. She hasn't thought of her in a long time.
She's
not getting Mom of the Year award.
No. I'm also just like, I was like, you guys better be wrapping it up or whatever the fuck people have, Markian has down there, because like, don't reproduce
but
no more.
But they're different species. They can't reproduce, right? Or in Star Wars, does it work that way?
It depends.
It depends on the species. Like, Broccoli Boy exists.
Yes.
I forgot about that. I was thinking maybe it'd be like a mule.
I know exactly what you mean, and also I'm just like, imagine just giving birth to a mule.
Mean like they would have mule. Any, you know, they're gonna have sterile children.
I know exactly what I mean. It's like any fucking species crossover offspring is just a mule, just an earth mule.
I know what we're talking about as a concept, but I just can't stop picturing mules.
Yeah,
honestly, I love this now, and every time that I see an interspecies couple in Star Wars, I'm just gonna imagine they have a little like horde of mules behind them. I guess what's the word? I said horde and meant herd.
Could be a horde if they're evil enough.
It's true.
It's true.
If they have
but
enough
I don't
mules.
Think they're herds if Markian had a mule. What's a plural of herd? I mean, of Jesus Christ, guys, I can't do this anymore. Take me off the fucking pod. I got too much shit on me.
We're going to talk a lot more about Markian and Gera because the next book we're reading is Eye of Darkness.
Oh. I'm excited.
Right on the cover. But I will just say.
Is he a daddy there too?
I am absolutely obsessed with what they did with Markian in phase 3, and I don't think it could have possibly been any better.
Okay.
So I'm very excited to talk more about this.
I love the Roe family so much. They are all cuckoo bananas. And the mythology behind the Evereni, all the lore is so good. Like, I just like, man, that's. Peak Star Wars right there for me is just these complicated fucking bad guys. I don't really have a whole lot to say aside from him having to like do a government and him just being like lol what.
He went and found some people. He is not doing a
government. That's true, you're right.
His girlfriend's like, you should have a government, and he's like, I will find other people to do this for me.
Right, yeah. He's an effective leader.
It's true. He
sure.
Yeah, no.
He knows how to delegate.
I think that's exactly
yes.
what I was thinking. It's a rare skill.
Mm-hmm. You say that. I'm like, I love delegating. I wish I had a fucking underling. we have a section for random shit. All right, this may be
that. Sorry.
Oh no, that's fine. Whoever wrote that, why does the wall of Lost Jedi look like a game of Guess Who? Made me cry fucking laughing when I read it. That's so true.
Maybe you're missing Jedi, a woman.
I forgot that Guess Who existed until I saw that in the comics, and then I was like, oh my god, this was brought back memories.
Did your missing Jedi wear glasses?
That's so fucking good. I want to play.
I'm sorry, I wrote all three of these, but I already said one of them, and then yeah, the Guess Who thing is real, and then also, why the fuck does Belle say it's so wild that? I was like, are we in 2024?
Yes.
It's so
yes.
Totally not wizard that.
Oh my god, Elzar, is your missing Jedi, Avar Chris? Are you crying? Are you crying right now? Are you literally crying right now? Oh my god.
I love that he tries to have a conversation about us in the middle of, like...
He's always so emotional.
Cleaning up Space 9/11, he's like, what does this mean for our relationship? And she's like, we are not together.
Also, our bestie just died, and, like, his body is at the bottom of this weird ocean.
Their thruple has been...
Uh-huh.
Shrunk down.
It's true.
Downsized.
Oh my god. Fucking Elzar. I also, one of the small details I really enjoyed in the comics is Elzar's like fucking crazy person beard just getting more and more like grown out as the comics went on. It was pretty good. He just like, you know, it was like, you know, Starlight after a week, he hasn't shaved. Sure, that makes sense. And after a while he just starts looking like fucking Tom Hanks in Castaway at some point, I believe, you know. He didn't actually get there in the comics, but you know, I imagine he does at some point.
With no Avar, he doesn't have to shave.
Oh man, I was gonna.
That
make...
sounded really weird, but I just meant weird situation.
I both knew what you meant and heard it the way you heard it.
I
you know, yes, correct.
Let me just.
I want to end the podcast now, please.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Book Wars Pod.
We definitely didn't cut out a bunch of nonsense right there.
Absolutely. We're gonna never do that. Next episode, we're gonna be reading The Eye of Darkness by George Mann. We start the book through chapter 14. In the meantime, if you have the means, first and foremost, donate to Justice for Migrant Women at justiceforwomen.org. Then, if you want to spend some of your Allbirds profits on us, you can donate to the Conversation Radio Patreon. Helps us cover our hosting and production costs at patreon.com/tashastation. And you can give us coffee at ko-fi.com/bookwarspod. From all of us, I'm like completely blanking. From, let me try that again.
Who the fuck is here? I don't know. It doesn't our say names it on our faces.
Screen.
From all of us, Kate, Rana, Devin, Miranda, Argos, Blue, Flix, Magenta, Merle, Orca, and Tony. Thank you for listening. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Huntington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Jordan Terry's and our audio production are done by very soon to be Dr. Producer Devin Keys.
So soon.
Don't say that.
Don't jinx it. Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
All of...